Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan is Yud Beis. We are here in the second parak of the Masech. We started the second parak yesterday, and the opening of the second parak is going to transition us from the topics of Chol HaMoed, which was all the first parak, and the third parak is going to be about Avelus, and here we have the short parak in between, and it's a little bit of a bridge, but mostly this parak is going to be focused and centered around still the halachas of Chol HaMoed. What we're describing back in yesterday's Daf in the beginning of the second parak is the Misha Afachet Zeisav. So everyone here is familiar, of course, with the olive oil process making. Olive oil making process. Okay, I never made olive oil. So, but again, with throughout the Gemara, so I get a sense, some idea of what of how it's done. I would obviously have a much deeper appreciation for the Gemaras if I was actually there and there for the process. Okay, so everything I know right now is not even, I have no practical experience whatsoever, so I'm just putting together what I get from the various Gemaras. So in terms of the process itself, so you take the olives and you put them all together and so that they soften and they start fermenting a little bit. By the olives, not so much. By the grapes, you want fermentation. But anyway, and then what you're going to do is that after they're nice and soft, so then what you're going to do is take a beam and put a really heavy beam on there in order to press, and the oil is going to come out and good, and you collect the olive oil. So the Mishnah described yesterday, Misha Afachet Zeisav. So you took all the olives and you put them together, and then what happens is an ones occurs. So or the workers didn't show up, or Rachmanis did, the person becomes an avo, which he himself can't work. So what do you do? So on Chol HaMoed, so pressing olive oil on Chol HaMoed is something that you're not allowed to do. Because again, the common theme throughout the entire Masechta is that what you could do at Chol HaMoed is only litzorech HaMoed. It has to be for Moed. So when you're pressing the olives on Chol HaMoed, you're not doing it for Chol HaMoed. By the time the olive is ready, the olive oil is going to be ready, it's going to be well after Chol HaMoed. So what do you do? So the Mishnah brings down a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we're talking about a serious hefset if I don't start pressing it now. And again, why is it a hefset? Why can't the whole thing just simply be postponed? So it's because I don't know anything about making olive oil. So it can't. In other words, but it's clear from the Mishnah, you can't postpone it, you can't delay it. That's not an option. So you got to start the process. So what are you allowed to do? So Rabbi Yehuda says you could start, but that's it. In other words, and then as far as the end is concerned, so you got to leave it off a little bit off at the end, meaning you got to do a little bit of a shinui. That sheet is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says no. Once you have a heter to begin, in other words, once Hefsed gives you that heter in order so that you begin the process, so you can go ahead and you can finish the process. That's the sheet of Rav Yossi. We're going to be seeing sheet of Rav Yossi, not once in today's daf, but twice in today's daf. We're seeing it in the opening mission that we just reviewed, and we're going to see Rav Yossi in an upcoming Mishnah coming up later today on the bottom of Yud Beis Amidah. That's sheet of Rav Yossi, and by the way, parenthetically, the Gemara later on is going to say that the halach is in fact like Rav Yossi. That meaning, once you have a heter to start the process, you can go ahead and you can finish it, and you don't need to use a shinui. Okay, and hopefully, you recall, the end of the first parak, we asked the question, who subscribes to this idea that we don't need a shinui? Meaning, once the heter is allowed, and once you're allowed to do it, you don't need a shinui? So, it cheetahs Rabbi Yossi. Good. So now, in this parak, so two times over, we're going to be seeing that. That is, in fact, cheetahs Rabbi Yossi. Good. The excitement in yesterday's daf, there's a lot of exciting things in yesterday's daf, but the excitement in the beginning of the second parak is how to read the Mishnah. Now, going back to the Mishnah says, Misha Afachet Zeisav. I'm just looking at the opening Mishnah of the second parak. Misha Afachet Zeisav, V'iro, Avel, O Ones, O Shitu Po'alim. So what you did is that you started the olive oil process, making process. You collected all the olives together. And then what happens was, is that you become an Avel. Now, what does that mean? You become an avo. Meaning, of course, we know what that means. In other words, one of your seven relatives died, and after the kvura, so now you're an avo, and for that week, you're not allowed to work. We know that part. We know, but when it says that you're an avo, does that mean there's one of two possibilities? It's either a description of the ones, meaning much like your workers never showed up, or whatever other ones it is. Or the and as a result of that, so you were held back. Or does it mean that during Avelus you can't do malacha even if you started the malacha beforehand? Meaning much like on Chol HaMoed. So on this point over here, meaning the Iser Malacha of Avelos, is it going to be the same as Chol HaMoed, or can it be a little bit more relaxed than Chol HaMoed? So we saw yesterday, Machlokes Amarayim. And if you remember the Gemara yesterday, in fact, let's just start with the Gemara. So Pasach Be'eva V'sayim B'Moed, meaning the Mishnah opens up with the case of Avelos and it ends with Chol HaMoed. So Amar Rav Shisha Bered Deravidi, Zos Emeres, V'Ramon Mutarim B'Moed, Asur Mimei Avlo. So even though there is a heter, in fact, to do the Malacha on Chol HaMoed, meaning because you have this notion of it's a Dover Hefsed, and so therefore you're allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed, you wouldn't be allowed to do it during Avelos. Meaning it's because he was an Avel that he wasn't able to go ahead and finish the process. And so therefore Avelos is more Chamer than Chol HaMoed. That is the conclusion of Rav Shisha. Now Rav Shisha's conclusion is nothing more than amazing, because what is the Yisr Malacha during Avelos? It's an Yisr Durabanan. Avelos is the Durabanan. Now, in Moed Katan, which we're learning right now, but in the third parak, so we'll discuss, and maybe we'll make a distinction between day one versus the other days, but the idea that you're not working for 7 days, that's a din derabanan. And so over here, what an amazing conclusion, Rav Shisha, that you're not allowed to do malacha, and there's no heter of hefsed during the 7 days of Avelos, even though there's a heter of hefsed for Chol HaMoed, that's amazing. Okay, let's just leave it like that, meaning It's a really interesting shita. It really reads into the Mishnah. Meaning, when you go back to the Mishnah, read into the Mishnah, that's simple pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning, because you were in Avel, so you couldn't do anything during your Avelos, ayin Chol HaMoed, so you're going to be given a heter. Meaning, because we have a heter of hefsed on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's a, but it certainly comes out to be an interesting conclusion. And on that, Rav Ashi Amar, no, let me buy Kamar. So Rav Ashi says, no, that's not how you read the Mishnah. Here's how you read the Mishnah. Let me buy Bimei Evlo de Madarabanu Visharei, meaning Avelos, for sure. If there's a hefsed, if you're looking at real loss, a realized loss, so then of course you'll have to do Malacha. No different than Chol HaMoed. So Ela Afilo Bimoed, Asr Bimalacha, Midaraisa Bimakam Seder Sharu. And the only point the Mishnah wanted to tell us is that during Avelos, where the Issa Malacha there is an Issa Durabanan, so there, the Chachamim were make for Dover Ha'aved. You know what? Same thing is going to be true with Chol HaMoed. The Issa of Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Da'oraisa. And by the way, this is, as we pointed out yesterday, the Gemara over here seems to be clearly of the position that not doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed, even though there are a lot of heterim, which we've been discussing now for the last 2 weeks, even though there are a number of heterim, but the Be'ikaron, at its essence, the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isser Daraisa. And the Gemara over here says it. And so there are a lot of Rishonim, including Rashi, including Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta, who are of the position that the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is, in fact, an Isser Daraisa. And our Gemara certainly speaks to that. Okay, we pointed this out yesterday, but it's good to review. And that's exactly how you read the Mishnah. Is that it goes without saying that if it's an Issa Darabanan, so for a Hefseid, the Chachamim were Mekel, but even by Chol HaMoed, where it's an Issa Daraisa, still by Hefseid, the Chachamim were Mekel. Okay. Tanya Kavase, good. That's where we got to yesterday. And so what comes out to me now is that we have two totally different ways in terms of how to read the Mishnah. Is there going to be a heter of Malacha B'Makom Hefseid on the week of Avelos, where there's an Issa Malacha? So it comes out to be a machlokus between Rav Shisha and Rav Ashi. Rav Shisha says that there is no heter, and Rav Ashi says that there's in fact a heter. And picking it up now, where we left off yesterday, Tanya Kavase de Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi. We do have a brisa that supports the Shita Rav Shisha, and that is the following. The brisa over here is a little bit on the longer side. Eilu Dvarim Ha'osim Le'evel B'mei Evlo. So somebody's an Avel. So that means to say that he himself cannot work. So there are certain things that you can do on his behalf. So the Zesef Hafuchim Tunim Lo. So let's say he started the olive making process. He had the olives which were Hafuchim. Like they were turned over, meaning they were already collected. And now they're softening. And if I don't tend to it, and if I don't press it, so then we're looking at serious loss. So Tunim Lo. So what you could do now is that you could press it for him. V'chad Laguf. Or let's say he's got a barrel that needs to be sealed. You can seal the barrel. Upi shana la'alos min ha'mishra. Or let's say he started soaking his flax and now he wants to remove the flax. But again, Rachmanis, the person's an avel. And so somebody could do on his behalf, remove the flax from the soaking. And vitzimra la'alos min ha'yara. Or let's say he is boiling the wool. probably dyeing the wool over here. It's probably what we're describing. And again, it's in the pot. It's simmering in the pot. And he's now a novel and he can't do it himself. Somebody could do it for him. Or marvitzim sadeu. Or let's say watering his field. Mishategia onas amayim shelo. When it's his turn to get water. In other words, they must have some sort of reservoir where they're all taking turns and now it's his turn. But unfortunately, he's a novel, so he himself can't do it. So someone could do it on his behalf. So according to the Tanakhama, so even though there's an issa for him to do malacha, but if somebody wants to do him a tova and do it on his behalf, so it may do so. All these cases obviously are talking about where if you don't take advantage of the opportunity, we're talking about a davar ha'avod, we're talking about a hefset. Rav Yehuda Omer, af zoran lo sade nir, v'sade homes lepishtan. And Rav Yehuda says, I'll go even one step further. So let's say it's time to plant, and he's an avel, so he can't do it. Someone can do it on his behalf. Amr lo im lo tizra bebechir tizra ba'afel. And they say to Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's not considered a davar ha'aved. Why? Because it doesn't have to be done now. In other words, there's not one opportunity, there's not one planting opportunity. So if I don't do it in the earlier harvest, he'll do it in the later harvest. He'll have later opportunities to do so. This does not qualify as a davar ha'aved. Im lo tizra pishtan tizra mimin acher. Right now, no. In other words, the Isser, we're talking about Avelis right now. So, in other words, whoever's not an Avel.
Who can do it for him? Who can plant for him?
Anyone who's not an Avel. In other words, right now, the Isser Malacha is just, we're not talking about Cholamot. This Bryce is talking about Avelis. So, right now, it's a personal Isser that he can't work. But somebody else can work. Somebody else will do it on his behalf. And the Imlo Tizra Pishon Tizra Mimenacher. And if you're not planting flax, you can plant something else over there. The land will be receptive to another species over there. Okay, good. So machlok is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether or not planting is considered a davar hefset, a davar ha'aved. Rabbi Yehuda says it is. The Chachamim says it isn't. Fine. But aside from that, the overarching idea over here is that for the avel who he himself can't do work, but if we're talking about an opportunity lost, so somebody can do it on his behalf. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Zeisef Afuchim Vein Sham Uman Elahu. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look, I'm going to extend the heter just a little bit. And that is that, again, we're talking about opportunities lost, all the same opportunities. I'm not going to go and translate each one of them again. But right now, nobody can do it on his behalf. And he happens to be an uman. He happens to be a professional. And right now, no one's there to be able to help him. So, Bitsina, so now because we're talking about a davar ha'aved, so therefore, in the event that nobody else can do it on his behalf, so he'll do it for himself. Okay. But privately. Okay. And generally speaking, when we are concerned about Marasayin, we're concerned even privately. But again, over here, there's a heter, and the heter is based on, it's a davar ha'aved. Yes, okay, I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I'll tell you what. I'll go even further. And that is, im haya uman l'rabim, v'saper oban l'rabim, v'higia eis aregel, v'ein sham uman elohu. So, hari zeh yaseh. So, if let's say, he's not just a professional working on his behalf, but uman l'rabim. In other words, the public are really counting on him. And he's doing other types of profession as well, and other people are counting on him. So, and eis haregel, meaning it is the appropriate time to take care of it. meaning, in other words, it's season. So under those circumstances, and right now, he's the only one around that really is professional enough. Now I say professional, by the way, one of the examples over here is sapar. Meaning, in other words, but okay. In the town, nobody gives a better haircut than him. So fine. So then he can go ahead and he can service other people. So the ancient muman elohu, I raise a yasa. Okay, so
as a muman, as a private person for himself, he cannot do it according to Rabbi Gamliel.
Rav Shimon Gamliel says the following: that is, in other words, he has one heter and then he has a second heter. The first heter is that if he's an avel, and generally speaking, you should have other people do the work for you. And again, all the examples are davar aved. And if no one is there to do it for you, you could do it for yourself. That's heter number one. And then privately. And then heter number two, if he's an uman l'rabim, and it's season, and everyone is counting on you, and nobody else can replace you, then you could do it for others as well. That's heter number two. And Sounds that way. It's a fair question. It sounds that way. Okay. Ha'arisim v'achakirim v'akablanim harei elu yasu acherim b'shvilan. So now, if let's say you are a sharecropper or a chachirin is also a type of sharecropper. It's a question of how it's contracted. By arisus, it's contracted by percentage. By chachirin, it's contracted not by percentage. You get a fixed amount. And a kablan is just simply somebody who's going to be paid for the job. In other words, they're not getting a percentage and not getting a fixed amount, but getting paid for the completion of a job. In any one of these contractual arrangements. So the, hare elu yasu acherim bishvilan. So that means to say now that if you are an avel, so then what other people could do is that other people can work for you. Ha chamarim hagamalim vasafanim. So if you have these other type of workers, you are either a transporter, using a donkey, using a camel, or a boat. Hare elu lo yasu. So there, you're not allowed to do work. So in other words, you're not allowed to be hired. So the anything that you do is going to be, it's basically your job. And so therefore, you're basically working for yourself. And so you cannot be hired during your week of avelos. V'im hayu mukhrachin u'muskarin etzel acherim, hare eila ya'asu. If you're working for other people, so that means to say that it's their task, it's their job, so that you're allowed to do. And then finally, schir yom, afilu bi'er acheres lo yaseh. What if you're schir yom? What if you're getting just paid by the day? So Rashi quotes the Gemara Baba Kama, if you're getting paid by the day, so you can quit at any point that you want. A day worker really has a position where, is in a position where they could drop anytime they want. Even midday, they're allowed to drop. So then if you are a schir yom and you're an avel, so because you have the right to stop, so you could stop. Not only you can stop, you should stop. So the Gemara says, now let's say you were given a job for somebody else, and afa pisha bikibolos, meaning that you're going to be paid as a kablan, meaning you're going to get paid for the completion and the conclusion of the job. So nevertheless, during your week of avelos, lo yase. So the Gemara says, Alpha Pisha Bikibolos Velo Mibai, Shaini Kibolos. So the Gemara says, Adaraba Kibolos Kididei Dame. So the Gemara says, the end of the Brisa ends off a little bit strange, because the end of the Brisa concludes by saying that even if you're a Kablan, so what do you mean even if you're a Kablan? If you're a Kablan, so that puts the ball much more in your court, meaning to say that you can do the job whenever you want, and you can finish the job when you want. So basically, it's more like yours. If anything, the Chiddush would be that you're not being paid like a kablan. Ela ema ben kibolos ben she'ena kibolos lo yaseh. So the Gemara says, okay, fair. In other words, we'll just edit the end of the brisa. And the end of the brisa means is that if you're a kablan, or even if you're not a kablan, still when it comes to avela, so you shouldn't finish and complete the job. Anyway, what do we gain from all this? Meaning, we just went through a lengthy brisa talking about the limits of how a person should not be working during his avelus. And the whole point of the brisa, as Rashi points out over here, is that this brisa is really support for Rav Shisha. Because what did Rav Shisha say? Is that on Chol HaMoed, so there's a heter in which you're allowed to do malacha if we're talking about a hefsed on Chol HaMoed. What about during avelus? No heter. Meaning, what was the basic point of the brisa? Other people should do the job for you. Yes, the Brisa went through a couple of heterim, Roshim, and Gamliel, but leave that aside. In other words, the prevalent opinion in the Brisa is that if there's malacha to be done, and you're an aval, and we're talking about a davar hefsed, all the examples in the beginning of the Brisa, nevertheless, it should be done for you. Meaning you shouldn't do it yourself. So in other words, the Brisa over here is really in support of Rav Shisha, that despite the fact that there is a heter of davar ha'ave when it comes to Chol HaMoed, there is no such heter as it relates to avelos. Okay, we can ask the question, and I'll certainly suggest an answer. Meaning, isn't it a little bit strange? By the way, it comes out now that according to Rav Shisha and according to the Brisa, it comes out that we're going to be more machmir when it comes to avelos than we are by Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is an issur d'oraisa. You can't do malacha on Chol HaMoed min haTorah. Again, the Chachamim were given the right to make numerous dispensations and numerous heterim, but still, bi'ikaron, Chol HaMoed is an issur d'oraisa. And yet, there's a heter for davar avein, and by avelus, which is only an issur derabanan. And meanwhile, you can't, even by davar aved, you cannot do it yourself. Somebody's going to have to complete the job for you, but you yourself can't do it. So that sounds a little bit strange. Now, it sounds a little bit strange, and in fact, Rav Ashi disagreed with that conclusion. But again, I'm only presenting the question, Aliba de Braisa, and Aliba, and according to the opinion of Rav Shisha. So how could that be? So the answer would presumably be, that's the question, but the answer presumably would be, is that, look, because the Isser Malacha during Avelos is a Din Derabanan, so the Chachamim went ahead and fortified and strengthened their Gzeira. Meaning that if there was any kind of lax position taken regarding a Isser Derabanan, so it just happens to be that people tend to think, oh, it's an Isser Derabanan, and now we can be Mekel, okay, fine, we'll be even more Mekel. So sometimes the Chachamim need to fortify an Isser Derabanan. Chol HaMoed, which is an Isser Daraisa, so therefore the Chachamim can make kula, certain kulas within Chol HaMoed, and not be so concerned that's going to be taken advantage of. Okay, we can offer such a pshat. Haisa malach to be adachem bebeiso lo yase bebeis acher yase. Okay, so let's say your work is biad acherim. So what did the Braisa teach us? The Braisa said that if your malacha is biad acherim, so then beveso lo yaseh, so he can't work in your house. However, beveso acher yaseh, but he can work in somebody else's house. So, and the Gemara now follows up with a story. Marion berei deravin omar berei derav acha berei derava havalohu gamla. The Torah Bahade Adade. Okay, so they had a pair of oxen. Okay, so and what they did is they rented out their oxen to other people. Okay, and it was not one but two horsepower, or in this case, not two horsepower but two oxen power. Fine. So this is generally speaking their financial arrangement. This is a partnership. Great. Now Itre Beimilsa Bemar Berei Deravacha Berei Derava. So Mar Berei Derava had now a Itre Beimilsa. You're going to hear that expression again and again throughout the remainder of the Masechta. It basically means that something bad happened to him in the context of Moed Katan. It means that he becomes an Aval. And so that means now to say that he can't work. Now, he can't work for a week, but now the question becomes the following. So we're now talking about hiring out his oxen. So what's the story with hiring out his oxen? So Upaske Legamle. So what he did now is that he said to his partner, look, I'm really sorry. I'm an Avel this week, right? I'm sure the partner extended his condolences. He says, but I'm an Avel this week. I can't work. And not only am I not allowed to work, but I'm not going to have my ox work as well. And he uncoupled his ox from the other ox. And so basically now for that week, so the other partner now is going to be losing out of money. Apparently they were only rented out as a pair. Okay. Anyway, so he uncoupled his ox. So I'm Rav Ashi Gavir Rabbi Kamar Bered Rav Acha Avid Hachi. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. That was a really unusual conclusion, which is look, I understand he's not worried about his own hefset. Okay, in other words, he's ready to suffer the loss of income. But meanwhile, we had a partnership, and meanwhile, I'm now going to lose because he's an aval. Meaning that part seems to be a little bit unfair. So and he felt that was not only unfair; he felt that it was wrong. Right, and look at the Rashi over here. Lepseda da'achrina kigom marion lo chayish lo kamishad de legamle have lepseda de lo havele behema lachrosh v'kevin deshari kedetanya im hayu muchrachin. Meaning, and go back to the Braisa, and the Braisa says that if it was rented by somebody else, so the Braisa says under those circumstances it would in fact be allowed. And so now, even if we weren't a partnership. In other words, if it was rented out by somebody else and it was somebody else's property, so the Braisa gives a heter. So over here, so his partner really was, understandably, really upset. Because now, because of his avelus, so he wants to accept the loss upon himself, which he, quite frankly, even according to the strict letter of the law, didn't need. Okay, that's his prerogative. But I'll tell you what's not his prerogative, to uncouple his ox from my ox, and now I have to lose money as well? That's not fair. So the Gemara says, "Adachim lo chayish va'atanya." I'm sorry, I'm just rereading the last line. Va'atanya imhayim muskar mumuchachem etz lachem harei elu yasu. So the Gemara says, "V'hu savar adam chashav shani." Okay. So Marber Vashi says, "Look, under normal circumstances, I totally agree with the thought process. Meaning, would I be able to rent out my animal during my week of avelos?" The answer is yes. Me'ikr hadin, yes. I'm allowed to rent out my animal to other people during my avelus. However, adam chashav. When you're an adam chashav, so you have to go above the letter of the law. And so I feel like I need to go above the letter of the law. Now, as much as I understand the answer, but it comes out, however, that the question's not fully answered. Because, in other words, for him to go above the letter of the law, on his dime, so that I understand. But what bothered his partner is that not only are you being machmir for you, but you're also being machmir for me, and now I have to lose as a result of your chumra? Okay, so I understand the answer. However, I'm still left somewhat not fully understanding that he's being machmir, not only on his account, but on another person's account as well. Okay. That is the Gemara's conclusion. All right. I'm left off just a little bit unsettled. But that's where the Gemara ends off the discussion. I'm Rishmul. Okay. We are now discussing up until now we've been talking about where you have a personal Isra Malacha, otherwise known as a Velus, where you yourself can't work, and now, so even though you yourself can't work, but can you rent out your items to other people on other people's properties according to the strict letter of the law? The answer is yes, and again, some tend to be machmer. A discussion now to be had regarding this idea of hiring out on Shabbos, on Yontav, on Chol HaMoed, where it's not just a personal Isra Malacha like Avelos, but now it's a general Isra Malacha. So, Amar Shmuel, top of Yud Beis Manav Mekabla Kibos Besochatchum, Aser. So let's say that you give your items over to somebody else, meaning somebody else, meaning a non-Jew. Meaning over here we're going to be describing Shabbos. And they're going to work with it on Shabbos, and everybody knows that it's yours, so that you're not allowed to do. And it doesn't matter what the contractual arrangement is, whether or not you're renting it out, whether or not it's a kablanus, it's, you know, he's getting paid for the job to finish the job. You cannot do it, says Shmuel, if it's besocha tchum, if it's within tchum. Now, obviously over here, this needs a lot of clarification. So, mekabel kibos besocha tchum, aser chutz tchum mutter. And now, if it's outside of tchum, it would be mutter. Now, look at Rashi over here. Rashi is critical. Rashi writes, mekabel kibos besocha tchum aser, because everybody knows that it's your item that's being worked on. And even though you're not paying him per the hour, you're not paying him per the day, you're paying him per the job. He could do it anytime he wants. It's kaplanus over here. Still, you can't give it to him. Because if it's betoch atchom, so that means to say that everyone's talking, everybody knows. And and people are going to say, he gave it to him on Shabbos in order to work on Shabbos. In other words, people are going to say that he violated the Isser of Amir Lanachri. Okay. Now, even though Amir Lanachri in of itself is only an Isser de Rabbanan, somewhat debatable point, but not so much. Even though Amir Lanachri is in of itself is an Isser de Rabbanan, but still, in other words, you want to be above reproach. And if you are going to be acting in a way in which people could in fact suggest that you're violating Amir Lanachri, so therefore do not behave in that manner. Okay, now, so here's what we're saying in the Gemara, that if I give something over to somebody else to work on, and I'm not hiring him for Shabbos, I'm just hiring him to do a job, kablanus, but if it's besochat chum, it's within the community, so I can't do that because of the impression that it gives. Mar sign, if you will. Okay. Rashi is bothered because we have a Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara in Shabbos says that you know what you could do? You can give your clothing to the local dry cleaner, and even though they're going to work it on Shabbos, you didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. You just simply said, "Clean my clothing." He elects to do it on Shabbos. That's perfectly fine. That's private. Okay, good. So you're already thinking of an answer, which is good. So Rashi is bothered by this very question. So what about the Gemara in Shabbos that you're allowed to give your clothing to a launderer? And even if it's besochat chum, so Rashi writes mishum dekvisa benachrimida delo minkar valeka chashada, because when he cleans clothing, it's mida delo minkar. It's not obvious. It's not perfectly recognizable that he's cleaning your clothing, because there's a whole bunch of clothing by the dry cleaner. And now when people see him cleaning, he's going to notice that it's your clothing. So Rashi says that's not recognizable. But if it's something clearly recognizable as being yours, so then there would be an issue of chshad. Again, this is where you ask your local rav. You don't ask me. But like, let's say for example, your car, you give to a mechanic, to a non-Jewish mechanic, to fix it, and you give it to him on Friday. So based on Rashi, right? The Rashi's distinction, where something which is lo minkar versus something which is minkar. And you give him your car. So is that something which is minkar? Is that something lo minkar? Okay, good. So that's where you speak to your rav and you ask him. But anyway, but that's Rashi. That's how Rashi distinguishes between our Gemara here and the Gemara in Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara, Amra Papa v'afilu chutzot chum lamarinella delek amasa demikar v'lahasam avalika demasa demikar v'lahasam aser. Even if it's chutzot chum, but there's another community that's nearby, and the other community recognizes your items, your personal belongings, so then it's still going to be aser even if it's outside of chum, because then again it still now represents an issue of marsayin. I'm Rav Mishar Shavichi Leika Master the Mekar Velahasam Nami Lo Amarin Ela B'Shabbosos V'Yamim Tovim Delo Shchichi Inshi Daz Lahasam Ava B'Chol Shemoi Deshchichi Inshi Daz Lavas Lahasam Aser. And then one more wrinkle in this halacha, and that is the distinction between Shabbos and Yontif versus Chol HaMoed. On Shabbos and Yontif, there's an Isra of Tchum. You are confined in terms of where you could travel. So if you give your item over to a non-Jew to work, and it's outside of Tchum, and it's Shabbos, and it's Yontif, so now it's fine. And there's no neighboring community. So now it's going to be fine. He's working on Shabbos, okay. But in other words, you gave it to him by kablanus. You gave it to him as a job to finish. You're paying him by the job, not per the day. And it's outside of Tchum, so no one's going to see it. And you won't be violating issues of Cheshad or Marzayan, whatever category you want to put it in. So that would be fine. And what about people seeing it? People will not see it because of Shabbos and Yontif, and nobody can walk outside of Tchum on Shabbos and Yontif. Oddly enough, on Chol HaMoed, we're going to be more machmir. I know it's a bit odd, but we're going to be more machmir. Why? Because on Chol HaMoed, there's no Isser Tchum. People can walk wherever they want to on Chol HaMoed. And so therefore, even though you gave the job for him to do outside of Tchum, but on Chol HaMoed, people can walk there. And not only can people walk there, people travel on Chol HaMoed, right? Everyone's taking their Chol HaMoed trips. Okay. I'm not sure if back then it was as popular as it is now. But anyway, but because there's no Isser Tchum, so then on Chol HaMoed, oddly enough, we're going to be even more machmir on this issue of giving items over to work on to a nachri over Chol HaMoed. Okay, so an assortment of halachas in terms of kablanas as it relates to Chol HaMoed, Yontif, and Shabbos. Okay, so can you have contractors doing contract work on Shabbos and Yontif? So the answer is no. With a couple of heterim, and then a much longer discussion to be had. Tosfos over here starts the discussion in terms of workers coming in, working on houses. Okay. Anyway, there's a lot to discuss in this particular area of halacha. It's very practical. Can landscapers come and do work on your property on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed? Okay. There's a lot to discuss over here. Our Gemara just scratches the surface. It's just the starting point of the discussion. We're going to go on because the hour is late and we got a lot of Gemara to catch up on. Okay, Mar Zutra Bereid Rav Nachman Banu Le'apadna Mekabla Kibola Schutzot Chum. Okay, so Mar Zutra hired people to build a house for him. Now the house is being built outside Chum. Okay, out of curiosity, by the way, why are you building a house? Right. Okay, I'm thinking, why are you building a house outside of Tchum? Right, you want to live outside the community? I don't know what's going on over here. It's a summer home. I don't have pshat, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that it was beheter. You're allowed to do that, as we just learned together. So ikla Rav Safa Rav Huna Bar Chinav Lo Alu Lagabei V'Igadami Hunami Lo Alu Abigavei. Now, so a pair of Amorim decided that, look, we're just not going to go inside, meaning pasnished. We're at a certain point religiously where we're just simply not going to go into the house that was built on Shabbos, built on Yontif. It was done beheter. Okay, it's very nice. It was done beheter. We're not going to go in. And in another version, oddly enough, he felt that, you know what? I'm not going to walk in as well. Okay, again, the oddity now over here of him contracting to build the house only so that he would be too frum to go into the house that he himself built. Okay, or whatever. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's mutter, meaning, as we just learned in the top of our Amud, that what if you do contract work and it's outside of Tchum, and it's Shabbos, and nobody's there, and so you're allowed to do that, there doesn't represent any issur whatsoever. Again, you're not paying him for Shabbos, to work on Shabbos, you're paying him to do a job, and it's outside of Tchum, so there's no issue of chshad. So it's fine. So it's perfectly fine. So why are all these Amoraim being machmir? So the Gemara says, Adam Chashav Shani. So the Gemara says, okay, and the reason why they're being machmir is because this falls under the category of Adam Chashav. So as a result of that, they felt the need to be machmir under those circumstances. Igida Amre, Siyu Sabativim Mehadayu, or another explanation in terms of why they were machmir is because it was not independent contract labor, but rather, there was assistance. He provided straw while they were working, and so therefore, because he was involved in the job. Now, what does that mean? He provided the straw. Can't imagine he provided the straw on Shabbos. It's that's unimaginable. It just simply means that it was not totally independent contract. It means that he assisted somehow in the work, and as a result of that, so it's not it does not, the whole building to begin with was not done totally in a state of heter. Okay, now in the second version, if we remember, we just saw a couple moments ago, in the second version, he himself didn't walk in. So what does that mean? Meaning, does that work with this answer over here? Meaning, is the Gemara suggesting that in this answer where he did actually provide the straw, now he himself later on became so from that he himself didn't walk in? Could be. In other words, it could be that he had a change of heart. It could be that he just, it's possible that this answer would also work with the gear so that he himself didn't walk in. Although, admittedly,
the builder was not totally independent.
Right, correct. That's right. That's the basic point of the Gemara. Okay. Rav Chama Shara Lahu La Avungari De Beresh Galus Olamevelu Avidata Bechul De Moed. Okay, so Rav Chama allowed the Avungari. Okay, sounds very similar to the Avankri that we saw back in the third parak of Sukkah. Okay, whatever. Right, other workers that are in the house of the Resh Galusa. And what they were doing is they were building, Rashi says they were building tables. Anyway, they were building on Chol HaMoed, or in the house, in Resh Galusa's house. So Amar Kevin de Agar Lo Kashakle, Shashuru de Kamishar She. So he says, look, I'm not paying them. In other words, yes, it's true, they are getting some sort of indirect benefit. Rashi describes they're eating at our table. However, I'm not paying them directly for the work. So the Kevin de Kamishar She Le, Leifanba. So therefore he feels that there's no iser in this particular area because I'm not paying them directly for the work in which they're doing. Tana Rabbanan. Mekabel kibos mamod la'asos la'achar ha'moed, uvemoed aser. So you want to start contracting on Chol HaMoed, so the actual arrangement, the contract arrangement that you could do on Chol HaMoed itself, but obviously only to do the work after Chol HaMoed. Meaning again, contract work, even though you're not paying them to work on a specific time, but nevertheless, to contract them to do it on Chol HaMoed, that you're not allowed to do. Again, the arrangement itself can be done on Chol HaMoed, but the actual work itself has to be done after Chol HaMoed. So, Klal Shel Davar Kol Shehu Osa, Omer LaNachri Va'Osa. So, if you yourself can do it, so then you can ask a guy to do it. However, Kol She'Eino Osa, Eino Omer LaNachri Va'Osa. But if you yourself can't do it, you can ask a guy to do it as well. In other words, what we call Amir LaNachri. Tanya Idach in another brisa, Mekabim Kibos Bamor Lasos Alachra Moed, Uvavash Shalom Yimdot Vashalom Yishkov Vashalom Yimne Kiderch Shu Osa Bechol. So again, you want to start making arrangements on Chol HaMoed to do the work after, that's fine. But any action whatsoever, not measuring, not weighing, not counting, so no action can be done until after Chol HaMoed. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Marvim Behema Bechol Shomoi, Kayosabo Ein Marvim Bechor Velo Bepsula Mugdashim. Okay, other kinds of activities and labors that cannot be done in Chol HaMoed. Okay, we seem to be now switching topics over here, meaning up until now, most of our daf has been discussing Amir LaNachri and what kind of contract work can be done, if any, on Chol HaMoed, on Shabbos and Yontiv. And so over here, until the next mission, coming up in just a couple lines, so we're going to be switching gears a little bit over here, and the idea of Harva'a. So again, no farmers here in this room, myself included. So, but under certain circumstances, and again, I come from the standpoint of having zero experience over here, but there comes a certain point in time where the animals need to be coupled, need to be mated, and so the farmer is going to be doing this. It's work, And again, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, so just to be clear. So anyway, but you're not allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed. Ein marvin behema b'chol HaShemoed. So having the animals mate, in other words, and the farmer is facilitating this action, you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. Kayotzebo, ein marvin b'b'chor v'lo b'psul ha'mukdashim. And same thing is true regarding b'chor and psul ha'mukdashim, obviously having nothing to do with Chol HaMoed. But there is an Isser Avoda to the Bechor. There's an Isser Avoda also for Psula Mugdashim. An animal that was a carbon, then had a mum, and then you were poda it. Okay, so now it has the status of Psula Mugdashim. It is mutter. It is mutter ba'achila, but it's also Begiz of Avoda. So you're not allowed to work it. And so therefore, Marvian is considered an Avoda. And so therefore, you're not allowed to do it for reasons that they're either a Bechor or Psula Mugdashim. It goes without saying a carbon for sure. You can't do it. Tanya Edach, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Ein Marvin Behema Bechol Shamoed. So again, the Braisa over here also describing that it is usher for a farmer to do so. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamor Shetava, Marvin Ala Zachar, Bishvil Shalot Titztanein. However, if it's in a keva and she is Tovea, and again, I don't know when this is necessary, but basically the idea of the Braisa is very simple. If it's necessary, i.e., for her health, right, she's cold, she has a chill, and it's necessary for her health, so under those circumstances, it would be fine. However, as far as all the other animals are concerned, you put them in the pen. So if on their own they're going to be mating, that's of course fine. That's called nature. But you yourself can't be involved in it because it would be considered work that's unnecessary in Chol HaMoed.
So can you put a bechor also in the carol?
It's a fair question. Seemingly, yes. In other words, on their own, it's fine. It's nature. Tanu Rabbanan, ein medayin lo b'shabasu v'lo b'yomim tovim. Okay, and now the iser of being medayer. So over here, fertilizing. So you take an animal and you basically you are going to direct the animal to certain areas within the field, and so nature calls, they're going to fertilize the area. So, but you cannot do this on Shabbos and Yontov. Now, goes without saying. We're going to make the most obvious statement today, and that is that obviously nature calls, and you let the animals relieve themselves wherever they want, whenever they want. But over here, what we're describing over here is controlled bathroom. In other words, you want to move them to a certain location so that they're going to fertilize a certain location. That is what we're describing as being aser. So ein medarin lo b'shabbos v'lo b'yamim tovim v'lo b'chol shemoed, and this is going to be an iser both on Shabbos Yontif and Chol HaMoed as well. V'im ba'al me'alei mutter. Obviously, the Braisa says it on their own. It's mutter. V'ein mesayin osam v'ein mosrim lahem shomer lana'er es zonam. So over here, you cannot give them over to a shomer. Hayaschir Shabbos, chir chodesh, chir shana, chir shavua mesayin osam. If, however, you're paying the hand not for the day, but you're paying him either by the week, by the month, by the year, by a 7-year contract. That's a long contract. So that would be fine. Almost of them shomer lanar sonam, and then the next line the goan takes out. Well, actually, I'm sorry. The line of most of them shomer lanar sonam that the goan takes out. And Rabbi Omer b'Shabbos b'tova b'yomto b'mezonos b'moed b'schar. Rabbi says that on Shabbos, so what you could do is that if somebody wants to tend to it b'tova, meaning for free, that's fine. On Yontov, he wants to work for food, that's fine. And on Chol HaMoed, you can even pay him. I'm Rav Yosef Hilchos HaKarebi, and on that, on hiring a shepherd, so the Rav Yosef says the halacha is in fact like Rebbe. Okay, so an assortment of agricultural halachas that ended off our discussion. Okay, so we're going to continue. We still got a ways to go. Anyway, so it's a long daf. So anyway, so let's just quickly recap. So over the course of the first half of today's daf, so what we saw together are an assortment of halachas regarding Avelus and the Isser of Malacha during Avelus. Rav Shisha and the Braisa are of the position that during Avelus, so the Isser of Malacha during Avelus actually exceeds that of Chol HaMoed. It's a little bit odd, it's a little bit strange, as we already pointed out, but nevertheless, you yourself can do it, even for a Dover Aved, so you yourself can't do it. Somebody else will do it for you, that's fine. What about if your item is over by somebody else? Can that be done? So, bi'ikaron, the answer is yes. In other words, kablanas can be done during avelus. We saw in the bottom of Yud Alpha Midbay, so some amoraim were machmir. They felt that they're at a certain spiritual level, they're an adam chashav, and therefore for them, they were going to be machmir. But bi'ikar hadin, So you want to rent your things out to others during your avelos, so that would be okay, that would be fine. Okay. And then in general, contract work on Shabbos Yontif, so on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara here speaks it out, and Shmuel's of the position that you cannot contract, you cannot have your items being contracted out by other workers unless it's outside of Tchum, and there's not a neighboring town, and it's not Chol HaMoed. In other words, but the and only under those circumstances can you give your items over. We saw Rashi this morning in the first half of today's daf. Rashi is bothered because the Gemara in Shabbos says that you can give your clothing over to a dry cleaner in order so that he can clean your clothing. That's contracted labor. In other words, you're not asking him to do it on Shabbos. You're just asking him to clean your clothing. And that's okay. What's the difference between that and our Gemara over here? Rashi gives a distinction. We went through the distinction together. But anyway, and then the Gemara gave us an assortment of other agricultural halachas regarding mating animals, fertilizing fields. Okay, all agricultural halachas that I know almost nothing about. Perfect. We are up to the next Mishnah. We're going to, just this morning, we're going to at least move to the Amud Beis. I do not want to fall too far behind. The Mishnah over here is going to be complementary to the first Mishnah. In the first Mishnah, so we went through what happens if you start the process of making olive oil, and now, Chol HaMoed comes about. So we're talking about a Dover Hefseid. So under those circumstances, what's the halacha? The halacha is machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. Whether you can finish it below Shinui, that Shitas Rav Yossi, or whether you can finish it but only Bishinui, that Shitas Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah over here is going to make the exact same point, but instead of talking about olive oil, it's going to be talking wine. Okay, so now, good, I get to really display my ignorance over here. Another process I know close to nothing about. V'chein Mishaya Yenibaso Chabor. So let's say now the wine is already in the pit. Okay, so you already now moved, you already are at the first stages of the winemaking. The wine's now in the pit. V'ira aval, o ones, o shihi tuhu. So again, any one of the anusim that we described in the first Mishnah, so you either become an aval, or whatever other ones, or your workers just never showed up. In any one of those circumstances, zole v'gomer v'gafka darko. So what you're going to do now is that you will finish the winemaking process. Okay? All the way to the point of Hagafa. Now, at least this one I know, and that is sealing the barrels. In other words, not only going to be finishing making the wine, but you want to seal the barrels in order for the wines to allow it to age and ferment and good. And Divrei Rav Yossi, that's the Shita Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ose lo limudim b'shvo shelo yachmitz. So Rav Yehuda says, look, do some stalling tactic. Okay. You can ask me, I don't know. But anyway, but in other words, you can finish it kedarko. You can finish it in the unusual manner. You don't have to lose as a result of that, meaning you'll stop the fermentation process by doing something. I don't know what that something is. You can see Rashi over here. Rashi gives some description. Okay, it doesn't matter. In other words, for Rabbi Yehuda, the point is that you can't finish it kedarko. You have to use a shinui. Okay, now in a moment, we're going to learn the Gemara together. The Gemara is going to wonder, why are we repeating the point over here that we saw already in the first Mishnah? And the Gemara is going to give a tzrichusa, why I need both. And we're going to see the tzrichusa. Right, I just made an observation, which I don't really know why, but it is an observation. And then in the previous Mishnah, it was first Rabbi Yehuda presented, then Rabbi Yossi. In our Mishnah over here, it's Rabbi Yossi, then followed by Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, good. I'm sure there's something to make of it. Anyway, Utsricha. The Gemara points out now they're both necessary. Nafish pseida. Yeah, you know, olive oil is much more than wine. Okay, I don't know. I haven't shopped lately. In terms of, I haven't comparison priced wine versus olive oil, but throughout Shas, right? A lot more. Which one? Olive oil. Okay, good. Throughout Shas, the Gemara always assumes that olive oil is much more expensive than wine. Okay, good. And now my fact checkers have told me that it's to this very day. So anyway, so Mishum de Mishcha Nafish Pseida. Avachamer de lo Nafish Pseida, ima modele le Rabbi Yehuda. Ah. But I might have thought that if we're not talking about as much of a hefsed, meaning if we're talking about wine, so maybe Rav Yossi would agree to Rav Yehuda. That's why I need our second Mishnah. And then obviously the converse, meaning if I only had the case of the wine and not the olive oil, so then I might have thought, okay, by wine, where we're not talking about such a pseida, Rav Yehuda would say, good, so try to finish it without a shinui. Ah, but if we're talking about olive oil, which is a much greater pseida, so then maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Yossi. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yisra Barav and Mantan Shinu B'moi B'dav Ravid Deloka Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so. Shinu B'dav Ravid. So we're talking about a loss. meaning we started the olive oil making, we started the wine making, and now here's Chol HaMoed, and now I have a heter to finish it. So do I need a shinui, or do I not need a shinui, even though I have a heter? So what do we know? We now are two Mishnayos into the second parak of Chol HaMoed Katan, and we know it's a machlokas. So who says that you don't need a shinui? Shitas Reb Yossi. Okay, why do I need an Amora to tell me that? It seems to be pretty obvious. Okay, I don't know. Maybe what the Amora is adding over here is that it's a derech klal, meaning it's not just these are particular examples, but maybe it's the idea that we can generalize. Okay, maybe. So anyway, I'm Rav Yosef halachik Rav Yossi. Rav Yosef, the Amora, tells us the halacha is in fact like Rav Yossi. Okay, the Gemara wants to know the following. Can I go ahead and seal the barrel? But we're not talking about olive oil over here. We're not even talking about wine. We're just talking about beer. Huh? So the person made beer. And again, is this a case of an ones that we described? Maybe. I assume so. I'm not sure. Anyway, but whatever. The point is that now he needed to seal the barrel. And here we are in Chol HaMoed. So can he seal the barrel on Chol HaMoed? So it's a Dover Havid if he doesn't seal the barrel. So Amalu Sinai, Amar Alachir Rav Yossi. So he says, well, you know what Sinai said, though, so we know who Sinai is, A, because we just saw it together in the Gemara, meaning Sinai is Rav Yosef, and Rashi reminds us of the Gemara at the end of Masechta Brachos, where, right, Sinai or Okaharim, which is better, right? Is it better to have the Bikios, is it better to have the penetrating analysis? So what was the Gemara's conclusion over there? The Bikius. Bikius is better. So the so anyway, Rav Yosef is known for his Bikius, and he was described as Sinai. So he says that the halacha is like Rav Yosef. So Eim Adam Rav Yosef Bechamer B'Shichra Mi'amar. So the Gemara says that's great. So that he said that by wine. We're not talking about wine over here. We're talking about beer. Yeah. So Chamer Tamei Mai Mishum Denafish Pseida Shichra Nami Yisbe Pseida. So he says, look, there's a we're talking about a real loss if we don't finish the process of the wine. Same thing over here. Amr Abai, Amr Li Aim, right? Abai quotes his mother, right? This is throughout Shas, where he's quoting his mother, not his biological mother, but doesn't matter. So Bar Shis Sai Vishie, Mi Bar Tamne Veloshie, right? You have 6 sa of beer. If it's sealed, you're good. That's a lot better than 8 sa of beer that's not sealed. In other words, the sealing of the beer is really important. Otherwise, you're going to be talking about loss. Amr Chamer Bergur, Amr Rav Halacha, Hilchas Moed Ke Hilchas Kusim. Rav Chamer Bergur says, as far as the halachas of Chol HaMoed are concerned, basically, it's like the halachas of Kusim. The Gemara is not making a positive statement. The Gemara is basically saying it's through. They're really challenging. Okay, now, what's the comparison over here? The way Rashi presents it's like this. When it comes to Kusim, so how are they regarding halacha? So they're good and they're bad, right? The Gemara elsewhere tells us that basically whichever halachas they chose, so they keep really well. It happens to be that they don't choose every halacha, so they pick, they choose, and so good. So if I see a kusi who is very observant, so he's really observant, yeah. In the one halacha that he chose, he's really observant. In other halachas, he's not observant. So in other words, he can extrapolate. Okay, generally speaking, by people, if you see a person who, you know, is davening with a lot of kavana, okay, so it's a safe assumption to say that he, you know, in other areas of his life, he's also religious. You can't say that by a kusi. I know it's a funny mashal, but the Gemara says, basically, by the halachas of Chol HaMoed, so you can't extrapolate. Meaning, even though I know one particular halacha over here, and this seems awfully similar, but you can't extrapolate. That's the way Rashi understands the mashal. Okay, Lamai Hilchasam Rav Daniel Bar Katina Lomer Shehein Akuros Ve'ein Lameda Zumazu. So as far as the halachas are concerned, they are akuros. Again, citing Rashi over here, Rashi says Ki Isha Akara. So in other words, a woman who doesn't have children, meaning to say that all we have is her, and there is no derivatives. Okay, so over here again, I don't know what we gain from the second mashal. But again, the basic idea over here is that you have a halacha in Chol HaMoed. That's it. You have a halacha. We can extend. It sounds like we can make a derivative. You can't do that. Okay. Now it's funny, by the way. The Gemara is going to give an example in just a moment about how you can't make derivatives when it comes to Chol HaMoed. It's funny because we just did. Meaning, what did we do? We went from olive oil to wine. Now, they're not derivatives, meaning they were both mishnayos. So those are two halachas, and then we went to beer. So what the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do, I know it's funny, but we just did. Okay. So the Amar Shmuel Zofsin Kustav in Zofsin Chavisa. So the and the Gemara says, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. So and it's an example of Shmuel. So to put Zephis is a pitch, and the and to put a pitch around a jug, so that you're allowed to do, but not on a chavisa, not on a barrel. Now the right now you would imagine that if I could put on a jug, which is smaller, so I could put on the barrel as well. So Shmuel says you cannot. Now Rav Dimi Amin Arda Amar Zofsin Chavisa means Zofsin Kuzasa. And he goes in the other direction. Mar chayish l'psedo, mar chayish l'tircha. Now, each one of them is weighing different considerations. Meaning the one that says that you could put a pitcher on small but not around big. Yeah. So his consideration is tircha. It's just too much work. In other words, the kuza is not a lot of work, but the chavis is a lot of work. And so we saw this on day one of the Masechta. Meaning even when there are heterim, even when there's a davar aved on the table, but if it's tircha yisera, so then even then tircha yisera will not override a davar ha'aved. So over here, this is tircha yisera according to one opinion, and the other opinion is that no, we're worried about pseda over that of tircha, meaning that if we're talking about a kuza, it's a small amount. That's not a real significant loss. But if we're talking about a chavis where it's a real significant loss, and if I don't put a pitch around it, if I don't put a seal around it, so then we're talking about significant loss. Okay, good. That's a counter consideration. Okay, so. And again, now, this is obviously where it gets difficult, meaning which one is going to beat which? Machlokas Amarayim, we just throw it together. The point, of course, of all this is just because I know one area of halacha doesn't mean it will necessarily translate to another area when it comes to Chol HaMoed. Amar Rabbi Nakin and Hilchos Moed ki Hilchos Shabbos. So we have a tradition that when it comes to Hilchos Moed, so it's actually very similar to that of Shabbos. Yesh Mem Ptura, Val Aser, Yesh Mem Mutar L'Chatchila. So sometimes it's going to be Aser. But b'di'evit it would be okay, and then sometimes the heter is afilu lechatchila. Look at the top Rashi over here. Hadik tani in zoftin also lemav lechatchila. So, but when we said we just got done saying that you can't put pitch around in order to seal the lid, that's lechatchila v'abidi'evit lo havechayev. But let's say you did so afilu you did so b'di'evit. So you shouldn't have done it, but you did it. So under those circumstances, you're not in violation of Chol HaMoed. Now, let's just leave it at that. The Hadik Tani Zofin having Mutar L'Chatchila. Now, the one who says that you're Mezafes, that you can't put pitch in, that would be even L'Chatchila. Okay. So Rav Huna Chatzo L'Chatzo B'Mo'ada. Okay, let's just do a little bit more this morning. We're well over. Okay. Rav Huna, so what he would do is he would harvest on Chol HaMoed. So Eish V'Rav Bar Huna L'Rav Huna. So he says, whoa, you just harvested in Chol HaMoed? What are you doing? So tochten kemach b'moed, letzorach ha'moed, v'shalot letzorach ha'moed aser. So you can grind letzorach ha'moed, but that's, of course, letzorach ha'moed. Not for after Chol HaMoed. Davar sh'avad b'moed, motel asosu b'moed. Davar she'eino avad b'moed aser. And if it's a davar ha'avad, so then you're allowed to. And if it's a davar she'eino avad, then you're not allowed to. B'amed v'ar m'morim b'tlushin min ha'karka. But that's only if it's already detached from the ground. But when something is attached to the ground, and even if we're talking about a davar aved, you're not allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. Now, if it happens to be that you don't have anything to eat, so kotzer mamar v'dash v'zara bor v'tochin, so then you could do all the activities, even up to and including harvesting. However, to do the disha, to do the threshing with an animal. So that already now, that's industrial. That's, you're basically getting out the motor, and that you're not allowed to do. So, what comes out over here is as follows, is that what we've just learned together is that unless you don't have food, you're not allowed to harvest. And so over here on the top of the Amud, we learned that Rav Huna was harvesting on Chol HaMoed, and we just learned that you're not allowed to do that. Amar la yichidai velo sfira lan kavasei. So so he says that's a shitas yachid. We don't pass like that. D'tanya, Klamer Shimon Gamliel Mishum Rabbi Yosi Davar Atolshim in the Karka Afilu Mitzaso Avod Mutar VaMechubel the Karka Afilu Kulo Avod Aser. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rabbi Yosi, meaning that's the Shita, it's the Shitas Yachid. Meaning B'Shem Rabbi Yosi that the that if we're talking about a davar ha'ava, even if we're talking about a davar ha'ava, you're not allowed to harvest. So the okay, but the point is, however, is that's the shita's yachid. It's the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and the and we don't and we don't necessarily follow that viewpoint. That's Rav Huna's argument. V'i Rav Yossi yadush nami beparos. So the Gemara says now, if in fact we're talking about Rav Yossi, so and there is a heter because of davar ha'avon. So why not allow him to plow with plow with cows? Meaning that if in fact the author of the first braisa is in fact Rabbi Yossi, haven't we already said that when there is in fact a heter, so you could do it in even the regular fashion? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba Man Tanishinu B'Moed B'Davar Aved Delok Rav Yossi. So Amar Lecha Hachanami Kevin Dechol Yuma La Beparos Daishi Hayna Nami Lo Love Shinuihu. So the Love Shinuihu. Yeah. So the Gemara says, look, this is meaning. People could do disha without cows. Meaning the idea of threshing without cows is not something that is way off the mark. It's not something which is highly unusual, and so therefore it doesn't, even if I didn't use cows, that doesn't necessarily qualify as a non-shun shinui. That was a lot of negative. Sorry for being unclear. Anyway, you could thresh even by hand, and that's normal, and that would be considered normal, and that could even be going like the shita Rav Yossi. Okay, well, this is the point we're gonna pause. We're gonna stop over here. We'll start tomorrow. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, we covered a lot this morning. It's just a lot of Gemara. Okay, so just a quick recap in the first half of today's daf. So the Isser Malacha by an Avel, meaning it's Moed Katan. In the third paragraph, we're really going to be talking about Avelos, but we opened up this morning by talking about the Isser Avoda by an Avel, which according to Rosh Shisha and the Braisa is more chomer than that of Chol HaMoed. That's a funny sentence, but that's the Shita of Shisha. That is clearly the position of the Braisa. If you're stuck, can people do the Malacha for you? Okay, so that was the beginning of the daf today, in which you can. Conversely, if you have items by other people, can they do work for you? And Avelos, by the way, is such a great way to discuss this, because Avelos, there's an Isser Malacha for you, but of course for nobody else. So can your car be by the mechanic, by the Jewish mechanic? You're an Avel, and he obviously is not. So can that happen? So the Braisa says yes. Me'ikar Adin, yes. And then the Gemara followed up with a story we saw in the bottom of Yud Alf Amud Beis, where there was a person who was an Avel, and he had his animal not working. The animal was being rented out by others. Me'ikar Adin, it's fine. Okay, he was an Adam Chashev. He wanted to be Machmer. Okay, and then on Yud Beis Amud Alf, when we started today's daf today, so we got into a really important discussion regarding giving your items over to non-Jews to work on Shabbos and Yontif and Chol HaMoed, and is that okay? Assuming, of course, you don't pay him by the day, you don't pay him by the hour, you're not paying him to work on Shabbos, you're giving him contracted work, he's going to get paid for the job. Would that be okay? Shmuel says, yes, but it can't be within Tchum. And even outside of Tchum, there can't be a neighboring city, and it can't be on Chol HaMoed where people can travel over there. Okay, so under really limited circumstances, you could do so. Rashi says we had no problem giving our clothing to a dry cleaner prior to Shabbos. Okay, Rashi responds to that. Go back to the Rashi today. Okay, and so that was on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and taking us to the Mishnah, a couple of other assorted halachas dealing with mating animals, fertilizing properties. Okay, a lot of agricultural halachas that don't apply to most of us. Okay, then the next Mishnah gives a similar scenario where it's a davar ha'avei, but instead of olive oil, it's wine. It's the same basic point. It's the same achlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Good. The Gemara points out, Srichus, so we need both Mishnayos. The first and the second Mishnah here in the second parak, so we need them both. The Gemara paskins like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yosef, the Amora. Pastans like Rebbe Yossi, that when you're talking about a davar ha'aved, you don't need to use a shinui. Okay. The difficulty of the halachas of Chol HaMoed. That's basically where we ended off our daf today. Where, even though I have a halacha, I know halacha by Chol HaMoed, so I can't necessarily extrapolate. Okay. Much like the Kusim, pick and choose which halachas they want. And I can't extrapolate just because I see them doing one. It doesn't necessarily mean they're doing other mitzvahs as well, and they're keeping other halachas. Chol HaMoed, so just because I know one halacha doesn't mean I can extrapolate and bring it to another one as well. Good. So examples of that, So putting pitch around a small jug versus a large barrel. So the Amoraim debate. I could do a small jug, but not a large barrel. I could do a large barrel, but not a small jug. Machlokas Amoraim, right? And what's the considerations? One puts tircha above hefsed. One puts hefsed above tircha. Okay. Point is that just because I know one halacha doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily know the other halacha. And then where we concluded today on Yud Beis Amud Beis is that Rav Huna harvested food. He harvested wheat to eat on Chol HaMoed. So it was Tzarich Moed, but he was just going to a really early stage of one of the malachas in that he harvested. Is that okay? So he was challenged because the Braisa would certainly indicate that you're not allowed to harvest on Chol HaMoed unless you have nothing to eat. So if you have nothing to eat, so then you can harvest on Chol HaMoed. But provided that you have something, so you can harvest on Chol HaMoed. That's the Braisa. Rav Hunan's defense says that Braisa is a Shitas Yachid. Okay, we don't pass like that, Braisa. Adkan.